This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstick.
Hey, isn't that Jess Falstick?
Nah, that's Sailor Moon. That's Jess Falstick.
Nah, that's just a couch covered in cats.
Oh, well, where's Jess Falstick?
Guys, I'm literally right here.
No, Jess Falstick has blue hair.
No, Jess Falstick's hair looked like she'd be part of the alt-left, if that were a thing.
Didn't she shave her head?
Just come see me every Sunday night at Avenue Tap House at 7 p.m. for the Red Light Comedy Showcase. The first Sunday of the month is open mic, and the last three Sundays showcase Cleveland's best and brightest comedic talent.
You know who's the funniest female comic in Cleveland?
Who's that?
Mary Santora.
God damn it.
That's Jess Falstick.
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, we're talking about a Marilyn Manson song. No, wait, that's not. My notes are all wrong. At any rate, our first anonymous guest that we've ever had.
Second. Dark Muppet.
Oh, yeah, there was Dark Muppet. I know who he is, and I know who this guy is, but you don't. Joining us from the bowels of hell and the pages of Image Comics, Louis C. Fur.
Hello.
Hello, Louis.
It's actually a Nine Inch Nails song, Starfuckers.
Yeah, I get them confused sometimes because I'm a giant poser.
And that's why I think Trent made that song. He was having some issues with Marilyn at the time.
Yeah, that is that's not surprising.
I think they were fighting over David Lynch's affection.
I love David Lynch.
Of course you do.
Okay. So we are running here with Louis C. Fur. And, Shear, what did he come to talk about?
Well, he's not going to jerk off in front of us. We're just going to get that out of the way right now.
Unless there's a house plan here.
There's one right over there. Just, don't get it in the seed pods there. So, Louis, what do you hate about Starfuckers?
Oh, there's so much to hate about them. I don't even know where to begin.
Can you? All right, for the crowd, because when we tried to explain this to somebody earlier tonight, they didn't exactly know what you meant off the bat. So, what do you mean by Starfucker?
And you know, I actually Googled it myself. there's a the Urban Dictionary defines it pretty much as like a groupie or somebody who vies for a celebrity's attention. And you run into a lot of that when you're around celebrities, just lots of different people that, act like different people to get close to them. I don't know why it bothers me so much. I think it's more that, people are disingenuous more than anything. And also that they're obsessed with shallow things. I don't know.
Shallow things such as, the fame adjacent that comes with being around a celebrity.
Yeah, that's an interesting term, fame adjacent, because, it's like, what do they bring to the table, really?
Is it their genitals? Is that what they're bringing to the table? Is they're fucking the star?
Yeah, I was going to make a joke just a second ago about, what do they bring, their mouth or some other hole?
Yeah, well, it's not always a hole. Sometimes it's an appendage.
Just ask Quentin Tarantino.
Appendage. I love appendage as a word.
Yeah, fingers and toes and,
Yeah, Brian Singer's in the news today. Have you guys seen his new movie, A Hot Tub Crime Machine?
No. Now, the funny thing is, since all this shit's been coming out about, and I guess we can get it out of the way, obviously, people in Hollywood are fucking scumbags. And that is not to excuse anything anybody has done, but, does that really surprise anybody?
Yeah, can we all say, and I'll speak for the two guys here, anyone who's a true victim of a real crime We feel for them, and we believe that they deserve justice. And I just want to underline that, especially before I go off the reservation on some of them. But yeah, you know, I actually just watched a film from 1932 called What Price Hollywood? And it pretty much covers all of these quote-unquote breaking stories about the way that Hollywood works. And I can tell you myself, I didn't go out to Hollywood until I was fucking somebody. So you do need to be able to do the job if you're going to last, but sex is a commodity in that town. It really is.
All right, so, you know, sex is a commodity, so thus, you know, if you're star fucking, you have something to sell.
Yeah, you've got to. I mean, just ask Corey Feldman.
Is that Donatello's voice? Is that what he had to sell?
Perhaps. I mean, and that's the thing that I really take issue with is, like, you know, as a grown woman who goes up to Harvey Weinstein's room at Sundance, like, is she really a victim, you know? Or is it, you know, and I mean this truly, like, and I'm passionate about this, what about the little kids, you know, who are in the parking lot of the Disney lot getting fucked in the back of a Porsche?
Yeah.
You know, like, those are the real victims, you know? A lot of those women, you know, that have come out, they've come out because they haven't gotten the roles that they were promised, or they haven't gotten the, you know.
I mean, I don't know, like, the fact that there's been, it's been surrounding him for years.
He's a dirtbag, too. I mean, I'm not here to apologize for Harvey at all.
No, and like, that's the thing is, you know, especially when people, like, you know, I'd like to use Kevin Smith as an example, but I really do think that he did not know, like, and I mean, like, because, you know, I listened to it, like, what he had to say about the whole thing, and I'm a big fan of his. So
that's,
it's like,
that's a good point. I didn't think about him.
Like, I think that he is a really good dude at his core.
Harvey was not fucking Kevin Smith.
No,
there was nothing sexual about that.
No, and I think Kevin Smith would be the first person to, like, say that. Like, nobody wants to fuck me. But, like, I mean, like, guys like Quentin Tarantino, who I'm also a fan of. Like, I'm a
love
fan,
that guy.
Fan of his work, you know? I think he's fantastic. But, like, you know, he even admitted, he's like, I knew enough that I didn't do anything, and I feel bad about that. And it's like, that doesn't excuse, but, like, at the same time, like, it kind of falls under the thing of, like, with all the shit that's gone on in like local comedy scenes, we'll say that, like, is it really Quentin Tarantino's place to fucking out somebody?
No, I know, and it's interesting because Harvey probably traded a lot of the power that he had was based off of Quentin's movies, and, you know, like you're saying, is it really Quentin's role to police his behavior?
Because
I don't think it is.
There's people that I know things about that I would like to say things about and be like, hey, you're a fucking scumbag. Mm-hmm. But I've been told by multiple people, one of them may or may not be sitting in this room, that it's not my place.
Yeah.
It's not my place to say anything.
Well, and somebody that I had heard about for a lot of years was Kevin Spacey. And it just so happens that, you know, Bryan Singer just got outed again today, and hopefully those...
Oh, wait, a new thing came out? I thought that was just a joke you were... I didn't know Bryan Singer had another thing.
He actually... This is, like, December 8th, I believe, and Singer... You know, it's funny, too, because it's, like, 2 or 3 days after he got fired off that new Queen biopic. And, yeah, it's him and a 17-year-old boy, you know, pretty much... Bryan Singer asking or commanding silence for, you know, sexual favors and telling him he'd make him famous and all this stuff. And that's a lot more common. And it happens to girls, too. You know, like, Harvey's a fucking dirtbag, and he deserves, you know, to be in prison.
Oh, without a doubt.
But yeah, that's really how the town works. I mean, to a large degree, and it's sad, but it's true.
I mean, it's something something that you struck upon earlier is... you know, the women that were going up to Harvey Weinstein's room, that did they know what was coming? That kind of statement just makes me think, should I not be having meetings in my bedroom because that's for fucking?
Well, I don't think that any grown adult should act shocked that if they go into a grown man's bedroom, that, you know, the business isn't going to be the first thing on their mind.
Well, I mean, I guess to a degree, I can understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, like, I mean, it's not like I'm deep into the entertainment industry. You are further into it than I.
And you don't have to be deep, and it's still improper.
But, like, the thing is like, I mean, I know that meetings do take place in hotel rooms, and that's not an uncommon thing.
Especially at Sundance and places like that, you know. And I actually have a producer friend who was at Cannes this year in France, and there was some, you know, questionable things going on Harvey's yacht, and but she's a grown woman, and she recognized right away what was going on. And that's where it gets to be tricky, because people do want to be successful, and they do want to, you know, they don't want to hurt their careers, you know. And these guys do have a lot of power. If there's somebody like Harvey, had an insane amount of power in that town. And, you know, if Quentin Tarantino doesn't want to step out and stop him, and, you know, how would you expect a struggling actor to suddenly, you know, because if you take a stance, I mean, he had the New York Times on his payroll and a lot of other big publications.
And isn't that who ended up outing him, was the Times?
Actually.
Or was it New York Magazine?
I think it was the New Yorker. And
New Yorker.
Something that they haven't really touched on a lot, but I did see a story today, is the guy that broke this story, Ronan Farrow, is Mia Farrow's son and Woody Allen's son.
Mm-hmm.
And if we know anything about Woody Allen... Yeah. Like, that's been going on forever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he married his friggin' stepdaughter.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, again, where a little bit of my animosity towards Starfuckers comes, is like, I'm glad these women are getting justice, but at the same time, you know, Woody Allen still gets a pass. A lot of other big, Bryan Singer was getting a pass up until today.
Which is crazy, because I remember right before, did he do First Class or no?
The X-Men?
I
think so.
Because I remember when that came out, I remember, like, there being, like, rumblings of, like, that thing where he was in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And, like, I was always like, well, fuck him. He's a scum. Because that kid was, like, 16.
Yeah.
And, like, that always, like, blew my mind. And guess what? I still went and saw Days of Future Past.
And it's funny, too, how it's funny because a lot of people that are, you know, we know how many comic book fans there are now, and a lot of them have a hard time, you know, accepting that. And I remember that when that story first came out, and myself being shocked that it was able to be brushed under the carpet, you know,
because
it was a bunch of underage boys at the time, and now they're adults, and they're just supposed to be, you know, oh, they're just trying to make a story. Or it's like, let me tell you, nobody that's been a victim of abuse like that wants to talk about it. So if they're, you know, coming out in the public, that takes a lot of courage. And unfortunately, like, our society wasn't ready to hear them. And that's why
I think
the Me Too thing is hopefully going to be good, because it will extend to the male child victims, you know, because there's so many boy and girl child victims in this business.
Oh, all that shit about the Nickelodeon dude. Oh my.
Right? I've got a son, and that makes you think. And I also heard a story on Howard Stern a long time ago where a girl got a Disney deal, and the Disney executives came out and were telling her family how much money they were going to get and all this other stuff. And the director took her up into her bedroom because he wanted to see what her bedroom looked like so they could make it look like that on the TV show. He raped her.
Oh.
And then she came back downstairs with her parents, and she was, you know, a preteen girl, and she told on the Stern Show, like, how she didn't want to ruin this fantasy, like, this dream that was coming true for her family. So, like, you know, that's, like, the type of stuff that my heart really goes out to, you know, just trying to be a voice for the voiceless in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing I wanted to touch on was, does anybody else find it weird that Kevin Spacey and Bryan Singer worked together on Superman?
And also Usual Suspects.
Oh, shit. Fuck, I forgot about that, which is a way better movie than Superman.
When the first Bryan Singer allegations came out, that's when I first started looking at Kevin Spacey. And again, I think Kevin's a wonderful actor.
Me too,
he is.
Just
a horrible human being, apparently.
That sucks.
I did not
like how he came out with, I think you and me might even spoke on it, Shear, that when all that came out, and he was like, he tried to cover it up with the fact that he's gay.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't fucking excuse what you did, man.
Yeah, not
like,
at all.
That's not okay.
No, it's, that was definitely a deflection.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And my favorite meme that I saw from that time period was that it was like, you know, they canceled House of Cards, or they fired him from House of Cards.
Yeah.
And it was like, when the fictional president is held to a higher standard than the fucking real president.
Hey, yeah, and to get real, that's like truly abhorrent. And is every American should be fucking ashamed that Donald Trump is still grabbing pussy on the daily.
I'm sure he is. I have no doubt about it. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, when I think starfuckers, though, I think less of situations like this and more of, you know, people that are trying to get into the VIP section of the nightclub to, you know, grab a little puss or Johnson, if you will.
Well, celebrity and fame are a very intoxicating and powerful form of power. I mean, it's
aura, if you will.
Yeah, it's something that money can't buy, and I've just noticed that being around a few of these stars, that they themselves aren't bad people, but, you know, wealthy individuals will attach themselves to said stars in order to, you know, kind of get a bit of that fame as well, because it does crazy things to people, you know.
Yeah, so do you find that that fame is the corrupting force more than money?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I think that a lot of times fame is just used as a corrupting force, you know what I mean? Where money will try to co-opt it, you know what I'm saying? Like they'll, there's a lot of people that will shower favors upon celebrities just to then be able to be in the same VIP booth as said person and then take advantage of the poor people that are trying to, you know, do whatever.
So it's kind of the situation where, you know, they buy favors and then it's like they're the guy who's, you know, checking IDs to get in the tour bus.
Yeah, or it's just like, this is my friend, you know, so-and-so, or I'm connected to this person. And that's where a lot of the producers do come in, where, you know, there's plenty of fine, really good producers, but then there's a lot of people that are just trying to buy a piece of that fame in order to, you know, use it to, I don't know, take advantage of people who I have to make the point, are a lot of these quote-unquote star fuckers are, you know, willing participants and being taken advantage of. I can't tell you how many people, I'll say, primarily women, who during the whole, when the Me Too thing first broke, I'd worked with on sets and I'd seen them firsthand, you know, throw themselves at directors usually and sometimes producers, and they would willingly give themselves over and take, you know, whatever promotions they got, and they would brag about them, and then at the same token they'd turn around and pretend to be a victim. And that's kind of what I took issue with.
So you've seen the turn.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want to say I guess personally, because you've seen it, but, like, that's not the word I wanted to use.
No, yeah, I mean, I didn't see the girl blow the guy, but I saw the girl, you know, attach herself to the guy, and then, you know, you can put two and two together. I've seen some really crazy stuff on a set, like, where a production assistant, which is the lowest rung of the ladder, cozies up to a director, and they're taking on the responsibilities of a first assistant director, much to the chagrin of the first AD, who's not able to really do anything except stand there and try not to go crazy, that there's like a 18-year-old girl, you know, doing a really bad impression of a first assistant director.
But they're not getting paid as a first AD, so what's the purpose of that?
Yeah, that's, Jeremy, that's a really interesting point. Yeah, they're not, and I don't know. That's where you've really got to question their motives. And, you know, maybe they are victims just because they don't understand what they're getting into.
Like,
and,
like naivety?
It could be naivete. And, you know, I mean, I'm not an attractive 18-year-old girl, so I've never been.
I disagree.
I've never been in that position. So, I mean, and I, again, you know, like, I just want to underline that, like, real victims we sympathize with. But you got to draw the line somewhere. There's been women like Pamela Anderson and Angela Lansbury and some others that have kind of come out and tried to, you know, touch on this topic, and they just get destroyed in the press. But I think there's something to it, you know? There's something different, especially with children, because a child has no, you know what I mean, sense of what's going on. And they're just freaking, like, truly taking advantage of.
When all this stuff started coming out, I can't remember who the conversation was with, but It was this whole thing about Hollywood and what's going on, and like what I tried to get across to the person I was talking to was that there's no excuse for sexual misconduct. There's no excuse.
Yeah, whether you're an adult or a child.
Yeah, there's no excuse for it, but like the moment you use a child in any sexual manner, it takes away their innocence that they're never ever going to get back, and that's worse than murdering somebody.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
And that's the real thing.
And you know, there's another story, and here's the thing that really bothers me again, is that in the wake of all this, there've been stories about high profile pedophiles that have come out, and they've all been buried. And there was one guy, it was on Page Six like a week ago. Whoever his dad is, he's married to Joan Collins, I think, who's some lady. And he said that his father thought that childhood innocence was an aphrodisiac, okay?
Oh, my.
And his wife, this Joan Collins chick, you know, came out saying, oh, no, that's a lie and stuff. But she's living off the late husband's estate, you know what I mean? So what's she going to say? And why would his son, you know, come out and just make that up? You know, I just don't buy it.
It's tough because there's, again, you know, it's, I don't know, it's tough for me to talk about because I'm going through it with a lot of this shit. And basically, you know, what I've been told by the victims is, shut up, just don't talk about it, and just talking about it has made it worse. So
yeah, you know, I haven't been a victim as a child that I can remember, but I have been victimized in my adult life, surprisingly. And that's, again, when guys come out and talk about being abused, like Anthony Edwards mm-hmm. talked about being abused as a boy in Hollywood, that's something that no man is going to say. You know, it's almost impossible for them to say it willingly as an adult, let alone, you know, to make it up. I mean, I just don't buy it, you know, and I wish that our society would pay more attention to that because, you know, if there's any cycle that needs to be broken in Hollywood, I think it's that. You know, I mean, obviously the casting couch system is as old as the business, but we've got to draw the line with the children stuff because they're just so susceptible to, you know, being victims. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of stage moms, too. And, you know, I remember when I was first working in Hollywood, a mother showed up with her child at a set, and I put my cigarette out and walked over to them. And right away, the mother asked me if I could light her cigarette. And she's dumping Pepsi into her, like, 2 or 3-year-old boy's bottle, you know what I mean? And she was just like, where's craft services? Like, nothing happened to that kid.
Not even Coke? What a bitch.
I know, but it's just like, and there's a lot of good stage mothers, too. But it just, like, opened my eyes to the fact that, you know, that not everyone is thinking of their children's best interest, because there's a lot of stage mothers that are living vicariously through their children, you know, and they just want to be on the set and they want to be near that fame or celebrity or whatever it is that sucks these people in, you know.
Which is just, it's, I don't know, I can't really relate because, you know,
you're not a piece of shit.
I'm glad you can't relate to child rapists, Jeremy. I'm gonna see this podcast through.
No, it's I can't relate to like wanting to be fame adjacent or famous because, you know, I've anytime I've gotten a little bit of a taste of it, it's freaked me the fuck out because mm-hmm. you know I don't want strangers knowing who the fuck I am. Yeah, it freaks me out.
You've said that since I've known you.
Yeah, it's you know.
Well, I can say too, like I've made kind of my career off of treating these stars and celebrities as if they were anybody else, and yeah. and they honestly really appreciate that. Like I've been called into to work with specifically, I got called in to work with John Goodman because they were having a hard time dealing with John, and I had a reputation for dealing with some other quote unquote divas. I treated John like a fucking human being. You know, and he couldn't have been nicer. Could not have been.
Because like, all right, so like, I hear it coming from your end, like where it's like you treated him like, hey, dude.
Yeah, John, what do you need?
Yeah, you're just my dude. And like, you know, these other people are trying to like all over him. No wonder he's being a fucking dick.
Exactly. That's so much of what it is, and it's not respecting the job that they have to do. And you know, a lot of people will be on a set and they'll think like, oh, so-and-so has it so easy and this and that. But, you know, those stars, they've got 150 to 200 people working and then, you know, waiting on them. And then when they come to the set, these actors have to turn it on, you know. And, like,
yeah.
That's actually really difficult if you think about it. So it's not an easy job for them, especially if they take it seriously and they want to do a good job. So I've just found, and in retrospect, you know, treating them like I treat anyone else goes a very long way. And also, too, the first movie I worked on is a famous director, and I didn't realize it at the time, but they brought me in and stood me right next to him. And luckily, I played it off like I was a Secret Service agent. You know, I was just very respectful, didn't say anything. And after about 5 minutes, one of the assistant directors came and took me and gave me the rundown and told me I was hired. And then I realized in retrospect, it was purely because I didn't, you know, clamor to this guy, oh, can I have your picture with you and this
yeah.
and that?
Yeah.
And then they had issues with their staff doing that. So, you know, in hindsight, I was very fortunate, but it also speaks to the fact that, like, it's hard to find people that aren't going to, you know, become susceptible to fame and celebrity and, you know, whatever.
So it sounds to me like you were specifically hired because you're not a star fucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're in this for the work.
Yeah, and you know what? I do have a passion for filmmaking, and luckily, and again, I feel lucky, too, because, you know, it's just not part of who I am, like, my makeup, but so many people in the business. I can't tell you, too, there was a lot of times I worked on a popular TV show for a long time, and there would be people, other production assistants that wouldn't be on regularly, and they would show up at places we were filming. And on those particular days, they would act like they were my best friend. Like, you know, they'd be like, oh, hey, how you doing, sweetie? And blah, 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 blah. Is so-and-so here? And da-da. And it was just, like, surreal because I'd been on other movies with them where we were both additional production assistants, and this woman or guy wouldn't even give me the time of day. Mm-hmm. But if I'm working on, you know, the number one show on this network, they're ready to suck my dick to get on the set, you know? Right. And it's just, like, repulsive.
And it's just to be on the set?
Yeah. And then that gets back to them, too. Where
I would get anxiety. I would be like, I can't fucking do this right now.
Well, and again,
Not from, like, the star. It would just be like, oh, dude, there's too much going on. Leave me the fuck alone.
Well, and that also speaks to, like, how delusional a lot of these people are, because it's like, you know, you think that you're going to get next to whoever, and then what's going to happen? You know, because a lot of these people are normal people, too. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're going to suddenly, like,
they take shits and jerk off.
Yeah, like, they're not going to wave a wand and make you famous. Because, like I said, even though you got to fuck somebody to get into Hollywood, you still got to be able to do your job if you're going to stay there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's basically, you know, once you get that nut off, you can't go to sleep.
Yeah. And you know what? There's a lot of celebrities, too, that take advantage of the star fucker thing, too.
I'm sure.
I don't think I want to name his name, but...
Do it!
Adrien Grenier.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all. He plays that guy on TV?
I know, and he seems like a really solid dude.
He does seem like a solid dude.
And I think he's matured a bit, but like 10 years ago, I knew a girl who worked in nightclubs and... they were catering to him in Chicago or something like that, and he pretty much asked her, like, are you going to suck my dick or whatever? And she was turned off. And you know what?
It bums me out.
She was a grown woman, though, and, you know, he didn't force himself on her.
But it's still a scummy thing to say.
I know, it's a scummy thing to say. And I'm sure there was, like, dozens of women who were willing to do it. And I hate to call him out because I've seen him recently give talks, and he seems to be real passionate about the environment.
Good for him.
Yeah.
It's a difficult thing, though, when you know that about somebody, and then you have to...
Pretend.
You have to pretend that, you know, you don't know that because you see the other shit that they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a problem. But, you know, again, I think a lot of what people are confused about now is where do you draw that line? What is acceptable scumbaggery and unacceptable scumbaggery?
Well, and that, all right, and that's something like I have been thinking about a lot lately. Like I'm trying to think of the one of the recent things that somebody did, and I'm like, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just fucking creepy and scummy. I can't remember what the specific. It might come to me, but like, if nothing is overtly wrong, then like you have no right calling somebody out. I mean, you can call them out all you want to, but like, if there's nothing overtly wrong with it, that's just their thing. And if they're an asshole, they're an asshole. Yeah. I mean, if they're fucking grabbing your genitals or your tits or whatever or your dick or that's wrong.
Well, and I can say for myself, too, I've never had to ask a girl to take my dick out. Like, anytime my dick's been out, the girls take... I know, Jeremy, you might have... But at least you asked, right? But no.
I generally don't make the first move because I was raised Unitarian. So it's like, you know, you think... you were... Look, I was raised, like, in this feminist environment.
Oh, me too.
And it just... I never wanted to be a problem.
If you have to think about it, it's probably wrong.
Yeah, it's like, I just never wanted to... Yeah, it really boils down to, I don't want to be a fucking problem in somebody's life. I want to help them out. And if that means that I have to... you know, ignore my baser instincts because it doesn't feel right, then I'm going to do that.
Well, and to Jordan's point a second ago, and not to name names again, I've never worked with this guy, but Dustin Hoffman. And there's actually some new allegations out against him that seem more nefarious, where he was groping and penetrating women and stuff like that. But prior to those allegations, the only ones that I had read was from a production assistant, again, who had to give him foot massages. And I can tell you off the bat, I've PA'd on hundreds of shows, and you don't give anyone a fucking foot massage.
Yeah.
So she may have been a young, impressionable girl. She didn't know what was going on, but like... That's not in... Okay, PA, they joke, stands for potentially anything. meaning that you might potentially... You could be getting somebody coffee, you could be guarding a door, you could be doing all these different things. But, like, a foot massage, no. Like, you don't... Yeah, yeah. That's not expected of you. So, I mean, again, though, the girl was young, and that's... you know, it's an abuse of power thing that...
Yeah, and that's... Wrong. And, like, is there anything overtly wrong with that? Not necessarily. There's nothing... I mean, maybe there's something sexual about it to him. Mm. But, like, is there anything overtly wrong with that? Probably not. But it's... Doesn't make it any less creepy or uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And especially, like, who the fuck... Like, if you're gonna be a creep and a weirdo, ask for a fucking blowjob then. Like, stop... Like, what the fuck do you want a foot massage for, you fucking...
Yeah.
Asshole.
Yeah, yeah, and I guess he would tell them to keep moving up higher. Move up higher. Yeah. It's like, get some balls, dude.
Yeah, Mr. Fokker.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys, too, it's like, if they would have went about it like an actual man who gets pussy, like, they probably wouldn't have had any issues, or they would have found out right away that they were...
That where they stood. Like, yeah, why don't you just, like, be like, okay...
So this elaborate ruse to, like, get them in a hotel room.
Like, Leonardo DiCaprio, I doubt he has any problem getting pussy.
Yeah.
Period. End of story.
However he handles himself.
Like, I like to put him in very high regard. I like to hope he's not a creep, but I don't think he has to be a creep.
Yeah.
Like, he's Leonardo DiCaprio.
Another great guy. Yeah, and, you know, his movie, what was it, The Wolf of Wall Street or whatever, there was a lot of questionable behavior in that movie, and it's funny how it gets a pass, but
really, like, on the set, you mean?
No, I mean, like, in the movie. Just,
oh, okay, yeah, just like the character.
Yeah, just being like, and that's true to the story or whatever, but it's funny how, you know, they'll act like such victims and stuff, but then they'll applaud films that, you know, kind of victimize women or diminish women.
I mean, there is definitely, I mean, dude, but Hollywood fucking... From, I don't know, from the 70s, from the 80s on, from whenever Scorsese and...
From fucking Charlie Chaplin's time,
like,
they were fucking...
Dude, like, I mean, they glorify... I mean, there's no question, they glorify violence and sex. And
yeah.
And guess what? on screen, I love fucking watching it.
Yeah, think it's about great. Casino. Who doesn't remember that Joe Pesci scene with Sharon Stone?
Yeah. Gangs of New York. Mm. Like, I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis being one of the best actors of all time. Yeah. Like, he's a racist piece of shit in that movie. And guess what? Bill the Butcher's one of the best characters on film.
Yeah. And, you know, some of that, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't represent truth. You know, truth in cinema is, like, you know, one of the most special things about the art form. But there's a fine line indeed.
Yeah. So, Starfuckers.
Yeah, what about it?
Right, ask a question, Shira. You're good at that.
Okay, so... how far can you climb up the ladder just by, you know, basically sleeping your way to the top? Like, what's the upper limit there?
To the very top. And I say again, like, at a certain point, you've got to be able to do the job.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Corey Feldman was a great actor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sure Macaulay Culkin was a great actor.
Yeah.
But yeah, and you know, the interesting thing too is, like, when you talk about some of the women in power as well, like, it goes both ways where they may have done something to get a job, but then they can kind of hold it over especially now, they can hold it over the person's head, you know what I mean, that they got to where they got because of this or that. So I don't know, it's a really slippery slope.
So, I don't know, I'm iffy about this because it seems like what you're saying is, like, this is, you know, part of the social contract of being in the business is that, yeah, you're going to have to sleep with people in order to get to where you want to be.
Yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, I don't want to give the impression that you have to, but...
I'm in a committed relationship, and I want to be famous. I don't want to fuck anybody.
It's a lot more common than you'd think, and there's plenty of people that haven't had to do that stuff, but you're always going to be around it, and you're always going to be exposed to people that do take that route, I think. You know? And you're always going to have to deal with them, you know? Like, I mean, I remember a lot of times where I would have certain coveted responsibilities on a set, usually handling actors, and there would be females... who would kind of get above me in the pecking order, but...
You mean like PAs or...?
Yeah, just primarily PAs, which is where a lot of it goes down. And so they would get, you know, quote-unquote ahead of me, but if they couldn't do the job, I'd still be doing the job that I could do.
Right.
But based off no sexual liaisons of my own. Unfortunately. There's only one producer that wanted to fuck me.
Yeah. And you didn't want to fuck him?
No, it was a her, and I loved fucking her. I was really good at it.
Well, all right. I guess, you know, the thing that's been bugging me as of late, though, is, you know, the people that there's a... that use that power dynamic, and basically, you know, what is promised is not delivered.
Hey, now that you, Jeremy, you're hitting on something really important, because I think that is an important part of the story with the whole Me Too thing, especially, is that some of these women, especially Ashley Judd, to name names, they weren't. Given what they were promised, you know what I mean? Like, she said she would fuck Harvey for an Oscar-winning role.
Ashley Judd said that?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I didn't know that.
And you know what, I should have said her name.
Oh, no, that's, I mean, it's like, it's fine, but...
But it's interesting, because she did say that the quote-unquote harassment or abuse started, you know, years and years ago, and she had kept Harvey at bay by telling him, like, if you give me an Oscar-winning role, I won't... you know, whatever. And then he never delivered. And then I know with a lot of those women that Harvey did abuse, because it was abuse, he didn't deliver. So it's like, now what are we learning? Like, this is a blowjob's a binding contract now,
right,
you know?
Right.
Well, I mean, if you're going to promise that, and then...
Yeah, I mean, they deserve the fallout.
Yeah. It's
and the abuse of power is wrong, and justice for the real victims. I can't emphasize that enough.
Yeah, well, it's the abuse of power, and the fact that I don't know. I think the power is a cornering mechanism, and I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not comfortable with somebody using their power as a potential like selling point for their dick. I mean, it's just.
And in my only issue, I think the only issue I'm trying to bring to the bear here is that the people that knowingly participate in that power swap, you know what I mean? Like, there's a difference if a girl's caught off guard and doesn't, like, the Russell Simmons allegation, the daughter of someone famous, she didn't want to get a ride home from Russell, and he gave her a ride, and as soon as they got in the car, he told his driver to take them to his place. And it escalated from there. I mean, that's a legitimate, she's entrapped, she's, you know, put in a fearful situation, and yada, yada, yada. It's different when you go looking for that producer, and you offer up whatever you have to offer, and then you have sour grapes down the line, you know?
Okay, well, how do you make that distinction, though?
It's very difficult, but I think that... first off, if we're talking about adults here, I mean, it's their willingness to participate in that sick system. You know what I mean? And like, yeah, sure, come out.
It doesn't
later.
Make the system okay.
Yeah, and I think that's like also too. The other thing is like it's as old as Hollywood, man. You know, like go back and watch What Price Hollywood from 1932, man. And pretty much every story that's in the news today is in that movie, and it's one of the first talkies, you know what I mean? So it's, if you want to call it an open secret, you can. And I just think it's unfortunate, and hopefully it really is a sea change. And the only reason I'm worried that it won't be is that they're not talking about the child abuse thing. Because, I mean, Jeremy, you have a kid, right? Like,
yeah.
I have a kid. Like, that's like the ultimate sin. You know what I mean? Because they don't even get to, decide to.
Well, I think that Nickelodeon shit. Like, I think
it's very disturbing.
I think that's what's gonna like bring the whole fucking thing down.
Well, Walt Disney has 3 sixes in his signature, and what kind of guy creates a cartoon character that little kids are gonna like that? He was luring them into his basement.
Yeah, but I'm all about the devil, though.
Yeah, well, that's
Hail Satan.
Hail Louis C.
Fur.
So, but here's the thing. It's more than just the overt abuse. Things can take place over a number of years to get them to that point to when, the hooks are put into them as children.
There is a lot of grooming.
Yeah.
And here's something I say all the time, too. Was Michael Jackson the first pedophile in Hollywood? Give me a fucking break.
No, absolutely not.
And nothing he may or may not have done, I'm not trying to take away from that, but it's like, that dude was a scapegoat for the same motherfuckers that are still hiding behind whatever power they still have.
Right. Well, especially with what's going on with the election in Alabama, which I'm not sure if that's going to be resolved by the time this comes out. But, it seems to me that for years, pedophilia has been seen as such an outrageous allegation that it's automatically dismissed.
Right. And that's why I talk about it. Because, yeah, people, it's and here's the thing about pedophiles. If that's your thing, you've got to get into a position of trust or whatever. Like, you got to be the guidance counselor or the priest or the troop leader so that when those allegations come out, oh, no, Father so-and-so would never do that, or Mr. so-and-so would never do that,
right.
And that's part of the sickness, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to be able to get away with it, you've got to be in a position of trust and power.
I mean, it's not just with pedophiles that have that. It's
all kinds of sick fucks.
Yeah, it's, well, that doesn't sound like him. That doesn't sound like her. That doesn't sound like me.
Well, I tell my son, like, some of the most evil people will come in some of the best packages.
How old's your kid?
8.
Oh, jeez. So it's like that fucking age where it's just like, you're like trying to be like, look, fucking be smart. Be
Stranger
on the
danger.
Yeah,
Stranger danger.
Right. Give him a knife.
And
9 years old.
I've kept him out of the business at least until this point, and he's expressed interest from time to time, and I mean, my only rule is that his mother never lets him out of her sight.
Yeah.
Because they take advantage of that, too, when they're inside of that world. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've done drugs, like, within a perimeter of a set, because I know that, you know, we've got real police on the perimeter, and we've got special police hired off-duty to guard the celebrities, so we're kind of in this bubble where you can get away with anything, you know?
Yeah. And,
like, out in the open? Like, oh, not, yeah. Not that you're, like, well, sitting there on the lunch table that's doing the other fucking
thing.
Coke.
No, that's the other thing. Yeah, like, I was more of a pot smoker, but all kinds of drugs. And, yeah, that's the other thing. Like, it's never okay to do, on any of the big sets I've been on, to do that in the open.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, it's...
But a trailer's 50
feet away. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, like, it's something where, you know, the Teamsters aren't going to say anything. And,
yeah.
It's, yeah, it's one of those don't ask, don't tell type things. As long as it's not, you know, don't make a cop do his job.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely.
God forbid a cop do his job. Yeah.
I never want that.
How many cops does it take to search a black guy? Just ask Tamir Rice.
That's, I mean, so, but you've seen this happen multiple times, like, and I mean, we're not just talking assault. Like, you're talking, like, people who, like, willingly are, like...
Yeah, what I've seen the most of are willing participants in the game. I did see one questionable thing one time where a creator of a show and an executive producer, he showed up and took a star into his office, and the star came out 45 minutes later with tears in his eyes, and I didn't know what to think, and I won't name names or speak to, you know, in any form of specificity,
right, right.
But it made me wonder, like, you know,
what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, and they just seemed different. And a few other personal experiences, you know, that just kind of gave me the, I don't know. Just gave me a weird feeling.
I hope that Nickelodeon dude gets hung. Mm. Like, I hope that they... Because, like, I mean, dude, the signs are fucking there.
Yeah.
The allegations are fucking there. He looks like that fucking guy.
Yeah.
And I hope he gets hung.
And, you know, a lot of what it is in Hollywood is that they don't like to... make movies or whatever, they like to attach themselves to people that have already some sort of success,
right.
You know what I mean? So there's not a lot of, like, collaboration truly going on. It's just people hooking themselves up to a guy's, you know, star. So
yeah.
That particular guy, you know, I'm not trying
and
to, like...
And for what? Like, that's what I don't understand is, like, just because, like, I mean, I don't know, you know, Louis Seyfert didn't tell me anything, but, I, like, I'm just gonna use him as an example. Like, I like the guys. I don't... This is the first name that popped my head. Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah,
like,
I love him.
Like, if you blow Robert Downey Jr., that doesn't guarantee you a fucking thing.
No,
except a shot in the mouth.
That's so... That dude... And that speaks to how delusional a lot of these people are. I remember I was in L.A.
You know how many people want to suck their dick?
Yeah. I was working for John Singleton in L.A., which was... awesome. That's the guy that directed Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
And there we were in this rough neighborhood, and I remember telling it, this is how rough the neighborhood was. I remember telling an LAPD guy, I'm like, hey, sir, can you turn your radio down? And he said, no, I can't. Because, like, we need to fucking hear what's going on. But there were these gangbangers that rolled up, and I tried to talk sense to them for a second, but they literally wanted to interrupt John Singleton as he's shooting a show so that John Singleton could then shoot their rap video, like, right then and there. You know what I mean? And it's just, like, on a different planet, you know, where it's like, buddy, like, a studio's paying for this, and, like, we're all, I don't know.
And he's not going to do that for free.
And, I mean, that guy was on crack, so I guess you could give him a bit of a pass. But that's, like, how a lot of these people think, you know? Like, I just want to meet so-and-so, and then I'll be famous, or I'll be...
You want to know what? Like, I'm a big wrestling fan.
Okay.
And, Chris Jericho is in a terrible band called Fozzy.
Okay.
And guess what? They're coming to Cleveland, and you can pay $150 for VIP to go meet Chris Jericho, take pictures with him, and have a drink with him.
Blowjob not included.
Blowjob not included. And guess what? I'm going to do that because I really like that guy, and I don't mind giving him my money.
Yeah.
Like, and if that's the way I have to meet him, that's fine. I don't need anything else out of it. Like, I don't think...
Yeah, you're not expecting...
You're
not expecting a shot at the Intercontinental Belt or anything.
Well, that's the thing. When I've met famous people, and mostly comedians, because it's, you know...
Part of the business. Where
I'm in a position to do that the most. It's what I want most, you know, is just, hey, I'm a fan of your work. It's nice to meet you, and then that's it.
Yeah, that's how I am.
Yeah, you just want to extend. And you know what? I'm like that too. Where I, if anything, and you know what? A lot of them appreciate that the most if you just say like.
David Tell was super cool about.
Oh,
that.
Oh man, I love David Tell.
He's a great guy. He's a super nice fucking guy. Like,
really hoping the Me Too scandals don't reach him.
I know.
Right? No, I'm kidding, David.
But like the thing is like I feel like he's like one of those dudes where like he's friends with those types. But I feel like Dave, like. He probably has never done anything.
Yeah, Dave's
super
never. Dave's so down on himself, he's probably never asked someone to take his
like, have
out.
You seen Insomnia? Or
yeah,
Insomnia?
That's great.
Or like,
such a great show. And there's a true working comedian, you know,
yeah.
Somebody who will play fucking everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of the times, like, how people are around people with a name, and
mm-hmm.
It's just. I don't know what they're trying to get out of them. I guess they're trying to convince this famous person that they're cool enough to hang so that they have a story.
Or like you use the term fame adjacent. I've never
mm-hmm.
heard that. But yeah, it's almost like in some way they're trying to validate themselves by
mm-hmm.
being associated with, you know, said celebrities.
I did it. I mean, I did it in my fucking teens and early 20s, dude. Like all the times I fucking... like hung out with bands and shit and told everybody about it. Like now when I see those bands now, like are dudes from those bands, if I get to have a drink with them, I'm like, hey, cool, like awesome. I don't need to, like, I was just a dipshit fucking young kid at the
yeah.
time, like trying to make a fucking name for myself. And I look back at myself and you're like, you're such an asshole.
Yeah, but you know, it also gets back to that. I think the pure, okay, fan is short for fanatic,
right?
You know, but like, I think like my dad bought a drink for Howlin' Wolf, like an old blues guy.
Yeah, right.
And it's like he just wanted to buy him a drink and say, like, I fucking love you. You know what I mean? And like that, I don't know, celebrities appreciate that. And I think that that's like a pure exchange of, you know what I mean? It's like a trade-off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really enjoy what you do, or you touched my life in this way.
Let me buy you a drink, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't go beyond.
Chat with me for 10 minutes while we
yeah.
fucking have this drink. Or don't. Let me
or,
just
or
buy you this fucking
don't
drink.
Don't quote-unquote make it happen for me. Because
no,
only you can make it happen for yourself.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
All that's work ethic.
Like I tell my son, Spike Lee didn't call me, you know? So.
Right on, man.
Yeah. So I think the, what has been drilled in over and over again here is, yes, you have that option to take enough ejaculate into your mouth to go straight to the top. But
straight to the roof of your mouth.
Yeah, straight to the roof of your mouth. But after you swallow, if you can't do the work,
it's back down to the bottom.
Yeah, back down to the now you're stuck on taint duty.
You know, I won't name her name, but she just broke up with the director of the movie she was in, and I made a joke that when she auditioned for me, she asked if she should spit or swallow. But you know, like, what do I? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, just what a coincidence! You dated the director for the duration of the film, and
yeah.
then you break up after. Like,
yeah.
Oh, what a genuine relationship that was.
Before we close out. This is something that has to be addressed because it was brought up.
Woo.
Does it matter if they spit or swallow?
To some people it does.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I personally
like,
didn't care.
Like, I mean, like, whatever you, like...
It does hurt a little bit
no,
if
like,
they don't want to swallow.
No, I'll say this much. Like, if you are willing to make me come,
mm-hmm.
whatever you do from that point on, I'm not going to be upset with. Like,
yeah, I won't hold it against them either way.
Please don't spit it at me.
Not one of the, you don't like the Cosby sweaters?
No, I do not.
So,
go ahead and Google Cosby sweaters if you're interested.
Feel the level.
The thing with the ooh.
And the jello and the pudding and it's white.
I mean, you know, I think if anything, if she goes that, then I know something's wrong.
No, I've heard arguments all over the place and they all make sense. I mean, if, I don't know.
He's like, maybe I shouldn't have eaten that Burger King Whopper.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, is it creepier if she goes yummy, yummy in my tummy? And
yeah, I've never had that. I've had it a few times where like I've heard all different things where like it tastes good or it doesn't taste good, but I always wonder about the ones that say it tastes good.
I don't want to know.
Right?
Like, I mean, like and that's...
I have no frame of reference.
I'm gonna leave the end up to you. Like, I'm gonna let you know that this is coming to a close. What you choose to do from that point is on you.
Well, and again, I think this whole, the underlying thread of this is, like, respect, you know? Like, I don't want to do anything you don't want to.
Yeah, no, that's...
Just let me know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold your mouth closed like a dog, like, swallow it, swallow it!
Harvey might.
like a pill.
Yeah. No, I don't, like, there was a woman that I was with that she's like, it gives me a tummy ache. Her words were tummy ache.
Now, she was using the phrase tummy ache, Jeremy. That's slightly concerning.
Yeah, I know it's disconcerting, but she was older than me.
Okay, good. As long as that's the case.
I'm not a fan of younger women.
No,
I've always been with older women, too. That was my downfall.
I'm with generally girls, that, aside from one, like, girls that were, like, my age.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to, like, tell an 18-year-old to fuck off.
No, but like, at this... No,
I am.
No, I was 24 when I didn't tell an 18-year-old to fuck off, but, like, I'm 30 now. I wouldn't fuck an 18-year-old any day of the week now. But, like, I also, like, it just comes with, like, I think the age. Like, I don't want to fuck somebody who doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think a good line, demarcation line is, like, do you think Space Jam is cool? <You
know>? But Space Jam, get the fuck out of here.
No, you can stay if you don't know. If you think it's cool, we got issues.
Yeah.
I love Jordan, though. I don't know. I meant Michael Jordan.
Out comes the knife. That's a good...
That's the next Rancid record.
And out comes the knife. All right, we got to thank our sponsors. Thank you very much, Jess Falstick. You can find her on the Twitter, at Epic Fall. She does a showcase every Sunday at the Avenue Tap House at 7 o'clock. First Sunday of the month is open mic. Every other Sunday is booked. Just get a hold of her on Twitter. It's the easiest way to get a hold of people. Also, Britt Fox, X Fox Rocks on the Snapchat and Instagram. Things are coming from her soon, so be on the lookout. And also, of course, Plight of the Stripper Herder. That's plightofthestripperherder.blogspot.com. This has been brought up a few times during this episode. So here's the thing about strip clubs. They know what they're doing. And stripper herders are there to help you find those girls that know what they're doing and know you have money and want to exchange it. So, yeah, tips and tricks, plightofthestripperherder.blogspot.com. Louis, thank you so much for coming and talking
thank
about this.
Thank you very
this.
Much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I'd love to have you. Love to have you in the future as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, maybe we could do a part two.
I think we probably could.
I might try to show up at one of those mics, too, and maybe you'll see me at the strip club, too.
You never know. But will we know who you are? So
perhaps. People might be able to piece together.
Yeah, so, well, let's hope not. Jordan, I don't think we're going to find somebody that hates starfuckers as much as Louis.
No.
I just feel bad for him.
There is another.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Chris Clem.
Sir Jeremy Shear, can you ponder me a query?
Yeah.
Do you love your brother?
I love my brother. Do you love your brother?
I do love my brother. How much do you love your brother?
I love my brother Chris Clem so much it hurts my heart.
I love my brother so much I listen to his podcast, the C4 podcast, Chris Clem's Cavs Cast.
Ooh, that's crackers good, mate. It's the best sports ball podcast on the whole Lousy Weather Media Network.
I heard he just gives himself the old leapin' lanny the whole time.
Oh, yeah, Chris Clem definitely has the reach for the old leapin' lanny, mate.
Do you know who Chris Klem's favorite wrestler is?
Who's Chris Klem's favorite wrestler, mate?
The Undertaker. The Dead Man.
The Dead Man.
I have no idea what the fuck you guys are talking about.
That's Chris Klem.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.